This is the Sit Down with Olwethu Lishabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.
Welcome to the Growing Parent Podcast by Art of Superwoman, a platform where we'll be discussing all things parenting for preschoolers. Preschool years are a time of rapid and dramatic changes in a child's life. Events such as brain plasticity, as well as acquisition of fundamental cognitive and interpersonal skills occur during this time. Over the next four episodes, together as parents and caregivers, we're going to explore some thought-provoking topics. So here are some talking points we'll be covering across this particular podcast today. We'll be talking about the joys of motherhood, the individuality versus motherhood, support systems, feeding and fun, managing what your child learns. So here's the thing as well. We go through series and series of these conversations and we go, oh my gosh, this is just what I needed. And that's exactly what you're going to find in today's podcast. Hopeleng and Danielle, thank you so much for joining me on the Growing Parent Podcast.
I'm so excited to be here with you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. So Hopeleng, I want to start with you. I know you're not a mom, so what do you enjoy most about being a rakhadi? Because moms come in different forms, right?
Yes. I think I love seeing the world through my nephew's eyes. I love seeing our family because we are now the grown-ups. We're the elders. So I just love that experience and just reflecting on what I was like when I was five and how life is so different for him. And I'm happy he's a happier child, you know, at that age.
And you know, Danielle, she talks about me, but we're the adults now. We're the big people now.
It actually freaks me out. I don't want to be an adult yet.
But what level of preparedness is there in that level of adulting and now being a mother and separating the individuality and motherhood? These are two completely separate things, right?
And it's scary because I don't think you can actually prepare yourself for motherhood because it's like constantly changing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes motherhood so exciting.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what I love most about it is because I don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. And I don't know what Zinzi's going to do next or how she's going to react next. And you say like there's a preparedness. I'm an adoptive mom. So where a normal mom could have prepared for 9 months, I didn't have that. It was like 2 weeks and like, bam, you're a mom. And it's this big responsibility. But I think it's so important to find that balance between being that individual and being that mom. And even though you feel so unprepared, somehow you are prepared. And I think when we realize this, the responsibility of motherhood, that kind of prepares you. Because you realize you've got one chance to make an impact in the world.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we do. We're raising a generation to be future leaders. And so I think that realization of this, it's my responsibility to raise a child, I think that prepares you.
And I mean, Hopeleng, in the work that you do, you're constantly seeing the lack of preparedness, the non-preparedness, the stepping into the parenting and the motherhood, the pros and the cons of not knowing exactly who's navigating what role in this parenting thing is, and it comes out in different ways, right?
Parenthood, you don't really know what you're walking into. This is a whole human being who has their own personality traits, and they can't talk, they can't do anything for themselves, but you know, they already have a soul. They're already here and they're already ready to put out into the world what has been put into them.
Yeah.
And I think what you said about responsibility is exactly that. In that moment when your child is having a meltdown, they're experiencing something new. And as a parent, you may not know what it is exactly they need in that moment, but at least you've had a few meltdowns.
Absolutely.
You've learned, you know, how to calm yourself down and how to regulate yourself. So sometimes all it is just coming down to their level and having them understand, you know, that this is something, it's a different feeling, it's a scary feeling, but I'm here with you and you're not alone. And I think a lot of parents actually need that for themselves. They need people around them who will hold their hands and say, actually, you are not alone.
And this brings me to then the subject of a support structure. What does the typical support structure look like? Not everyone can have family around them. We saw it throughout the pandemic, right? You're dealing with your preschooler at home all by yourself, but what kind of support structures do you need as a mom or a dad?
But the structures of support have changed over the years. When I was growing up, we had a social worker in the community, but I'd never seen them in my home or at school. So I knew about that person, but I didn't know that it would be something that, you know, when I become a social worker, I'm actually more involved in other people's lives. And so for a generation that, you know, professionals may have not been accessible, they are now. For a generation where social media was not accessible, it is now, you know. There's 7 billion people in the world. There must be someone that is going through exactly what you're going through, or maybe has gone through that. And so I think it's really just about exploring those ways and finding ways that, you know, we are comfortable with. You might not feel like you're a support group kind of person, but maybe you are a one-on-one, I need to talk to another mother. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you're okay with going to seminars. You don't mind going to seminars. You don't mind, you know, having play dates and having the children around as well as other parents. But it also depends on what works for you. Mm-hmm. Social media means different things for different generations. For the younger crowd, they could be getting their parenting tips on TikTok.
Yeah.
For an older generation, it's just like, oh, you're just talking, you know, you're just putting things out there. You're just telling people your business. Yeah. But for somebody else, it's actually more comforting to know that 11 o'clock at night, I can be on my phone and just, you know, get information instead of waiting tomorrow to call an office and ask if, you know, there's someone available to see me.
Absolutely. I mean, how did a support structure look like for you? Mine came through the form of starting my blog, and I found community through that way, right? Yeah. And it just grew and, you know, created an Art of Superwoman community. Mm. What did that look like for you? I know you have a very similar story.
Yes. So, like, I have to say, with us, it's different to the average mom because we adopted and we actually lost a lot of family because of that, because they didn't agree with what we did. And despite of that, we really didn't care. We still wanted to adopt because it was a passion and we knew that that was what we were supposed to do. So we lost a lot of close people that were supposed to be our support structure. And I'm so thankful for social media, because social media became our support structure. Because we adopted transracially, there were so many things that I had to learn. I had to learn about Cindy's hair and her skin and just how to take care of her. And I wanted the best for her, and I wanted her to be in love with her hair and with herself. And so social media was amazing. And to this day, I still revert to social media and I'll pop a story and be like, listen, girls, what am I supposed to do? And then they actually do give me sound advice. So a support structure is crucial. And I have to say my mom plays a very big role in our lives.
Yeah. So we're at a stage where we're dealing with preschoolers, right? You and I are at that age. I'm not sure how old your nephew is, but man, are they fussy eaters.
Tell me about it.
One day it's soup. Then we're going through a very, very hectic kind, like it's noodle textures.
We're on rice. It's just rice.
We're on a lot of starch.
Rice, you know.
But it's so hard to balance the nutrition and you're stressed because you're like, are they getting everything they need?
And she doesn't really eat meat. So I'm so worried all the time.
We can never get enough green. It's constant starches.
Yeah.
It's our powdered milks, you know, to kind of supplement what they're eating. But how do we try and ensure, and I mean, I'll come to you, Hopeling, how do we try and ensure that we're getting as much balance in their meals as possible during this stage? What are kind of tips and tricks that you can give us?
That's a bit tricky. And I say it's tricky because one thing will not work all the time.
Yeah.
In the same way that today they want soup, and tomorrow it's not soup, it's something else. It's not going to be the same thing. But I think as a parent, just in the mindset about the food that you're preparing, you need to be consistent in that. Because you can't be presenting one thing one day and it goes down well. You present it again, but in a different way, and it doesn't go down well, and be surprised at the reaction. Communication becomes something else. What are you going through? What are you experiencing? Are you not liking the way that I'm preparing the food? Because that's where moms and dads really need to be creative about how they're going to present. And it's not always going to be, you know, a favorite. But you need to be willing to play the game.
can I just bump in on this? Because I think this happens in our household, okay?
It's so familiar, right?
This is like a new thing. So Zinzi will run to Dad and she's like, listen, can I paint my nails? But I just said no because it's going to be cutex all over everything and there is no time. And then he'll go yes because he doesn't know that I just said no. So we've put her down. We've sat her down and we had a really serious conversation with her. And we told her, listen, Zinzi, Mom and Dad, we're a team. Every time you go behind my back to ask Daddy something, you're breaking up the team. And I really, like, I got down to her level. I went onto my knees, looked in the eyes because I wanted her to feel like I'm on your level. I have to explain this to you. You need to understand. And I think they understand way more than what we think they do. Yeah. And so now she's actually told her friends, oh, no, you can't do that. You're breaking up the team. So I love that about it. And I think it's the same with food. They'll do that. But what I've also learned with the food thing is I make Zinzi cook with us. They don't eat stuff because they don't want to try it. So you just need to find creative ways to actually get them to taste it. Just taste it.
You know, when they're involved in the kitchen, they feel so much more obligated to also be involved in the eating and in the exploring of different foods. I also learned through, you know, we had our own fruit garden during the lockdown, you know, so we planted our own fruits and veggies. And when they go fetch their fruits and veggies in the garden and they bring it into the house, they want to cook it. They want to get in there and actually eat the food that they made. They love that. They absolutely love that. Kids love that. Yeah. And I've seen they go to the backyard, they'll go fetch their melon or they'll fetch the butternut and now they want to come inside and come cook it. So that's also another good strategy on getting them to get involved in the kitchen and eat their own food, right?
Or it's not served, you know, in a very, I mean, think about when you go to a restaurant, you actually do think about what the plate looks like. And they do too. It's just that you are head chef in the restaurant. So I think, you know, when you are serving your meals, small servings, you know, and consistently, so snacks in between, because they love to eat, they love to, you know, be munching on something, so and also have a routine about how you want to do things, you know. TV was a thing when we were growing up because it's not like we had a dining room table that we could sit around. But over time, you realize that it's actually not even about the dining room table. It's about having this thing in the background that's just going on and on and on. And we are not actually engaging about the food that we're eating, about your day. And I think, you know, one of the things that I love about food, I mean, I'm not a great cook. I love eating. I feel like it brings me closer to the person that's prepared the meal. But it really just gives an opportunity for you to get to know the person and to conversate and to talk. And children love telling stories.
And I think growing up, food was always not a fun subject. You know? I remember somebody used to tell my mom they will eat when they are hungry. Like, leave them alone. But it was just the fun around food, like you're saying. Like, it was eat. Here, take, eat.
You know what you mentioned about the gardening and harvesting? They have a story to tell when they go to Gogo's house or they're at school with the other children. So it's an experience and it helps them make sense of their world. So for them to be 30-year-olds that don't mind being in the kitchen and preparing food, it starts at home. It starts with what they see at home. And if mom is always, like, begrudgingly just, take, eat. They have that, you know, I don't want to eat unless I'm at somebody's house. And that's not a nice feeling to have. You want your child to be comfortable at home. And you want them to be a grown-up that's comfortable at home. So I think, you know, being mindful of things like that. How does it bring us closer as opposed to bring us apart? How do we not fight over food? You know, there's food in the house. Let's not fight. You know, the struggle is getting the food into the house. Once there's food in the fridge, let's look at the ingredients and, you know, sort of think about how do we build a home and how do we carry on building our home, even with our children, the team. How do we keep the team fed so that we can keep going?
As we go through this series, you're probably going to resonate with so many moments. You'll laugh at some, you'll cry at some, but most importantly, we're going to learn and grow together. So do stay with us. So I'm always keen to hear what's on your mind, so please look for the contact details in the show notes. Send me through your questions and even your topic suggestions. This helps us to stay in touch with you and to connect better. Our hashtag is #TheGrowingParent. So connect with us on social media at Art of Superwoman and keep following us at Art of Superwoman on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our YouTube channel. You can also find us on artofsuperwoman.com. From me, your host, Oluwatule Shabane, it's all from now. See you on the next episode.
You've been listening to The Sit Down with Oluwatule Shabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.